I told you, I wake up every day right here, right in Punxsutawney, and it's always February 2nd. And there's nothing I can do about it.
Season we play that death march so often, people are gonna start to think that's our theme song.
I think it's actually the Iowa fight song now, isn't it?
The Iowa give up the fight song.
We have no fight left in us song.
Well, welcome to episode 2, 2013 12 Saturdays podcast. I'm James Bladel.
And I'm Tori Brecht.
And well, this feels familiar.
Well, I thought the Groundhog Day quote clip was a good one. Because you kind of saw it coming to a certain extent, and you couldn't stop it.
No, it was, I agree, it was, when did you feel like, hey, I've seen this script before? Was it the interception?
It was the interception. Well, converting the fake punt made me very uneasy. But then when Iowa got the ball back with a minute 45 left and two timeouts in good field position, I thought, you know what? I've been watching the team. They looked better today than they did most of last year. They thought they had a little more fight. I thought that they were going to turn it around, but that interception was a backbreaker.
See, for me, it was when Northern Illinois tied the game.
Yeah.
Then I was like, oh, see, I know how this ends. No, really, because then it's weird. We seem to go into this mode where we're playing for overtime.
You know, I don't think they did. And what's funny about I almost wish they would have in this occasion.
Well, yeah, but don't you feel that way about, was it Purdue?
Yeah.
Where it's like, I wish you would have played for overtime or something. There was a game last year where I felt the same way, where it's like, okay, phew, we got overtime at a minimum. Now let's try to win this thing. And it's like, no, we're going to lose it.
Well, I know there's been a lot of debate about that play call, the very first play call when Iowa had the ball back, as I said, with plenty of time. Plenty of timeouts in good field position. And, you know, I'm not one that is a big coach questioner. I try not to be a Monday morning quarterback too much. I mean, more than what is our job. That's our podcast here. But our unpaid job.
Our burden.
But seriously, you know, I guess I can't get my mind around the thought of you got a guy who's never started a game in his college career before. You've got him on a play that came close to being intercepted a couple other times earlier that at best usually gains 3 or 4 yards, but can have a couple things go horribly awry, interception, incompletion. Your offensive line on a hot day had finally been getting a consistent 2 or 3 yard push. I mean, man, just run it a couple times. Make it a little easier on the rookie quarterback, right?
You'd think so, and I mean, I can't remember how much I was staring down the defense, and I know they were loading up a little bit against the run, but why not? It was 3rd and 1. We were getting a consistent 3-4 yards.
I'm talking about 1st and 10. The 1st and 10 with the ball at the 40-yard line.
But I'm talking about that whole 3rd quarter and into the 4th quarter where it's just, why are we throwing this football?
And I know people have said, well, last year people criticized because they weren't being aggressive enough, and now they're being more aggressive. I don't have a problem with aggressive versus non-aggressive. I have a problem with situational play calling.
Yeah.
You know, the 3rd and 1 call is a great one. I have no problem with throwing that bomb if you're going to go for it on 4th down.
Right.
But if you're not, then just get the 1st down.
I think we were high-fiving because we were so sure they were going to go for it on 4th down.
It was less than a yard, actually. Yeah. So, you know, I still liked what I saw out of the offense, sort of in philosophy. I didn't really like execution all the time. Some of it, you know, the 2nd quarter was really good.
Yeah.
But the situation of play calling is just still, to me, a real head scratcher and a weakness for Iowa. They shoot themselves in the foot. And I'm one that usually gives credit to opponents. And I will say, like I told you last week, when I made my pick, what do? You pick the team that has the more experienced, better quarterback who has the bona fides, that's been through it and done it. And that's exactly what happened. The team with the star quarterback ended up making enough plays to win the game.
Well, and I think if there's one glaring problem, it wasn't the defensive line and their pass rush and their contain. I mean, you know, I think a lot of folks will point to the lack of you know, hurries or blitzes or sacks, but I thought they did okay, certainly better than last year.
Yeah. Well, and Lynch was getting the ball out of his hands so fast.
But the problem was the secondary. Guys were getting behind him, and guys were missing coverage, just blown coverages everywhere.
And then some untimely injuries and cramping and some issues.
It was really bad. And, I mean, it's not like Iowa defenses to give up big play multiple times a game. And I think they gave up three big touchdown plays.
Yeah.
And I think that was the glaring problem for me is that you know, and if I think it was someone posted in their analysis that, you know, you don't we basically – the defensive line and the linebackers were good enough to make Lynch beat you with his arm.
Sure.
And he did.
Right.
And if he can do it, I mean, you know, think about all these Big Ten quarterbacks. They're going to pick that secondary apart.
We'll see. You know, I think there's definitely room for improvement. I think that, you know, there's still hope to generate a little more pass rush as we go along. And I think the secondary is better than they played last Saturday.
You think so?
And I don't know that Lynch wouldn't be among the top 3, 4, 5 quarterbacks even in the Big Ten.
Well,
I think
he's definitely a better thrower than he was last year.
Yeah,
we saw.
I'd take him over Martinez from Nebraska, for one. I don't know who Wisconsin's quarterback is this year.
I can't pronounce his name. What about Braxton Miller? He would probably be the top.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. King Coulter from Northwestern is another really good guy. I mean, you're absolutely right, but he'd be up there, I think. And so, and again, not to take anything away from Jake Ruddock either, because I thought in his first start, he more than exceeded my expectations. I mean, I thought he looked very poised. I thought, you know, he made good reads. He stared down receivers a little bit, but not even as bad as Vandenberg. And remember, this is his first start ever.
Yeah.
He showed some mobility. He showed good pocket awareness. So I think, you know, he's going to be good. It's going to take some time, like it does with anybody. Which, hey, maybe he could have got some snaps last year.
He was so terrible last year.
Yeah.
Relatively. No. He would have benefited from it.
Never really going to understand that one.
No.
Really think I should probably just put it away.
Yeah, I just think, you know, we just dwell on it. I don't even, you know, I think even Ferentz might want to have that back. I mean, silver linings then. What do you see as positives coming out of it? I mean,
I like the running game. You know, I know some people were still grumbling about, oh, we should have seen LeSean Daniels. We should have seen more Kanzeri. But, you know, I like Weissman and Bullock as a Thunder and Lightning.
If they can stay healthy, they're great together.
You know,
I think
I would honestly like to see Kanzeri get a few more opportunities because I think he has kind of that game-breaking speed. I thought the linebackers played really well.
You could get all three of them on the field if you put Bullock in the slot.
Can he catch, though? I mean, one of the big missing elements, you know, we talked about the third down play, we talked about the interception. One of the plays that really killed Iowa, that screen pass that he dropped with no pressure or anything, that was going to go for like 50 yards, if not more. I mean, that was going to be maybe a game-breaking play right there. So
Could have been.
Man, just stop shooting yourself in the foot, for God's sake.
Well, but we've been screaming that for a number of years, a number of games now.
It is interesting. It is interesting.
So, you know, I think what was another silver lining, I mean, I think Myers definitely, this is a senior year, right? So I don't think there's any concern about our kicking.
No.
Kick returning, some decision making.
Somebody needs to let Jordan Cotton know that you get to the 25-yard line if you take the ball in the end zone.
Yeah, he was costing us 10, 15 yards every time he brought it out.
That is another thing where...
And he's one of the better receivers and one of the faster receivers. It's like, we really can't afford to lose you on a kickoff where you're running out 3 yards deep into your...
You know, I already patted myself on the back for my pick based on quarterbacks. I'm going to also pat myself on the back on the whole, you know, C.J. Fedorowicz as all-world tight end thing because he was a non-entity. Now, I don't know if...
But they're saving him, Torrey.
He didn't get open, and I don't know if it's because they wouldn't throw across the middle. I don't know what it was, but all I know is that that's not a weapon for this Iowa team, and I'm not blaming him. You know, it might be the scheme, it might be the offense, it might be the quarterback. I don't know what it is, but all I know is if anybody that thinks that we're going to be running wild with tight ends like, you know, the New England Patriots or somebody like that is not watching the same game I'm watching because they're not doing anything.
The other tight end, I thought, got an interesting play call. If he was on that that bubble screen.
Yes, tight end screen.
That's a really interesting. Did they think Dallas Clark was back there again?
I don't know.
There's nobody really that can pull that off.
Not too well.
Not with that body.
The other silver lining, I think I lost probably around 11 or 12 pounds because of the baking heat.
There were three of us, and I counted the bottles afterwards, and three guys put away six to seven waters.
Each?
No. 6 to 7 waters and 3 Diet Cokes.
Oh, I thought I had like 5 glass bottles myself.
Yeah. Well, maybe you actually threw them in the trash. I was just counting what was underneath our bleachers. But yeah, that was...
We're on the east side in the sun, so...
Yeah. We're on the broiler side of the stadium. So what do you think... I was participating in a little bit of a bitch fest about the scoreboard and the way that was not showing anything relevant to the game except for that blaring Hy-Vee logo.
I'm in the camp that Iowa doesn't have the deep-pocketed donors like an Oregon or an Oklahoma State. So if you want to have the fancy toys and the nice practice facilities and the upgraded stadium, you're going to have to whore yourself out.
Well, look, I'm fine with ads. I'm fine with ads, but at a certain point, you know, when they were coming down the tunnel,
I think that was glitchy, though.
Oh, okay.
I'm hoping
that was a mistake because otherwise, it's now the Hy-Vee coming out of the tunnel.
Right.
Entry to AC/DC, and then that other scoreboard on the new one on the north end zone. I think it was a glitch, but at a certain point you're like, this is starting to look like the TV out of Idiocracy.
Yeah.
You know, it's just surrounded. There's just like this little viewable area. The rest is all ads.
Well, and then no down and distance for a good portion of the first half, I think.
And how many times did the ref had to go out and correct the number of timeouts of the scores?
The scoreboard before the game?
But. Yeah, it was did not shine in its debut, but no, I mean, overall, I think maybe it was on one of the blogs that said that, you know, this Iowa team that we saw Saturday would have kicked the crap out of the Iowa team that we saw last year. That's probably true, but then everybody would have done that. That doesn't mean they're good.
Well, and this is the thing that I guess is sort of disappointing for a program with, you know, the facilities, with the pedigree, with the fan support, with the high-paid coach, with all of that, that we kind of are kind of like, you know, Minnesota or Iowa State right now. I mean,
we aspire to be Iowa State.
Yeah, that's about the level that Iowa football is at right now, and that there's really no good excuse.
Well,
one
of the internet boards had a NIU fan come on and was saying, you know, great job, thanks for having us, Kinnick was a great place to play, hang in there. You guys are going to do great. You gave us all we could handle. And I went, wow, so that's where we are now, taking a pity post from the Max school.
The stat that's really unacceptable is Iowa is 1-4 at home against their last 4 MAC opponents.
1-3.
1-3 against their last 4 MAC opponents at home.
So in the MAC, we would be bottom tier, right?
Right. Well, not for a whole season, one would hope to think, you know, but... Not good, you know. And it sucks when teams have you circled, too. I don't know, like, for as average as we've been the last few years, we sure seem to be a lot of teams circled game, don't we? Hold on.
Maybe take that as flattery.
Well, you do.
Because you remember
during
the Rich Rod years, I mean, how much did we love beating the crap and kicking Michigan
true.
While they were down?
Kick
so,
them while they're down.
Exactly.
And it's our
turn in the Rich Rod barrel.
Exactly.
All right. Well, let's see if our toilet still works after last year.
It's pretty clogged with horrible losses, isn't it?
I don't think that Central Michigan ever went down all the way.
I don't think it did either.
All right, well, let's flush it. You do the honors.
All right.
So last week we were kicking around some ideas for other segments, and one of them was... what we were you didn't buy in on the title. I was calling it Ich bin Expert because I'm just such a Lebowski fan. But
you know, you and like 17 other people get that reference.
Hey, those are 17 of the coolest people I want to know.
Okay,
but we did find an expert for this particular call. We had to go quite a distance.
Right upstairs.
Yeah, exactly. Into the next room.
Right. So our expert is Rochelle. Rochelle is a recently minted Beachbody coach. For those who don't know, Beachbody are those people you see on the late night commercials that are completely like ripped and beefy. And Jim and I both kind of half-assedly try to work out. I ride my bike and lift some weights, and Jim's quite a runner, but you know.
Well, I did the P90X. I got through, I think, I don't remember. I got through like a half of it.
But then, you know, we also drink a lot of beer and eat food that's bad for us, unlike Rochelle here, who is a fitness guru, who is going to share some of her fitness expertise and nutritional expertise with our audience that, you know, I'm sure doesn't need it, probably mostly 6'3", 210 pounds of rippling muscle.
Well, welcome, Rochelle.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So what do you have to do to become a certified coach? Do you have to test out, or what is the process for that?
No, in order to become a Beachbody coach, really all you need to do is want to help people with fitness. There's no other qualifications, really. Your experience with the Beachbody products, your experience just living a healthy lifestyle. Of course, they give you instructions on how to do that and how to, you know, market yourself and market your business and things like that. But no, you do not need to be a professional.
So if you're a Beachbody coach and you, say, had a spouse who was, you know, well-intentioned but perhaps a little beefier than he'd like to be and maybe not working out as much as maybe he should and maybe like to eat, you know, boxes of saltine crackers and peanut butter washed down with beer at 11 o'clock at night.
I noticed that the saltines had been eaten last night. Actually,
what can you still do that? I mean, do they frown upon that? Or
do they frown about having husbands like that, or do they frown about people eating vats of?
Well, I mean, does your taste
in men disqualify you as a coach?
Does it hamper your credibility?
No, it does not hamper my credibility. My taste in men was forged a long time ago, and so I picked you, so I've got you now.
Your grandfather did, I think, is what I'm hearing.
Man. Yes, absolutely.
That's good to know.
I'm not going to give you up because of your saltine peanut butter fetish.
So how do you get yourself up and out of bed at 4:30 in the morning to do these, like, crazy? Take us through like what a typical morning workout would be with what you do.
Well, right now I've done a lot of different things. I started working out in college and just doing your basic gym work and stuff like that. I got to a point in my fitness life where I had hit a plateau and I didn't know how to change that. And I came across Beachbody and their products, and I started with the P90X product, which many people have seen on TV with Tony Horton. That just kind of got me hooked on the Beachbody thing. So I've done a lot of different programs that they offer. Insanity is one of them. I'm sure many of your many thousands of followers have heard.
A dozen of your followers.
Okay. Heard about. So usually most days I work out between 60 and 90 minutes, depending on the day.
Every day?
Every single day of the week. Yes, I work out 7 days a week. That isn't for everybody, and no judging, because that's just me, and I know that I am intense about it, but that just, it's what works for me. It doesn't work for everybody, and that's okay.
So do you feel like if you were actually, like, in a women's prison on your first day, that you could just, like, take any bitch down right out the beginning?
I'm going to make somebody my bitch. I'm just saying. It's going to happen.
Right. I watched that series, too.
I just read the book. I've got biceps. I can hurt somebody. Anyway, typical day, I get up at 4:30. I don't eat breakfast. I go downstairs. I work out for about an hour, hour and a half. So the programs that I'm doing now are Body Beast, which is all weightlifting. And then I'm also combining that with T25, which is a cardio program. So I do both.
Can you substitute? I mean, one of the things I found when I was actually doing P90X well was that mentally I was getting really not in a good place, because I have, whatever reason, and Tori and I have had this conversation, I am in that place now where I have to run to be sane. Mm-hmm. It's not about liking it or anything anymore. It's more just about like therapy.
Yeah. So
what I do is I substitute, what is the cardio? There's a cardio day, like a plyo day and a Kempo day. And I just substitute runs on those days. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's totally fine. I mean, you got to do the one thing that I always tell everybody about fitness is that you have to do with what works for you. So what works for me is working out 7 days a week. I work out at 4:30 in the morning. clearly that I'm insane, and that does not work for everybody. If running works for you, then you should run. Absolutely. Whatever you're happy with. I can run. I'm not a huge runner. I do not enjoy it. It's just not my shit.
Well, nobody enjoys it.
Some people really, really are hardcore runners.
I can run a few miles. I can kind of get into it. I sometimes miss it, you know, because I don't have the best
run a 5K in my sleep. That's not a big deal. I can run a few miles, but...
Well, the thing that I heard was, and I think this is the best description I've latched onto, is that when I run, my mind is quiet. And it's the only time...
It's true. Yeah, I agree with you. It is definitely a stress reliever for me. I have some of my... I have good ideas when I'm working out. I figure problems out if something's in the back of my head, whether it's something with a kid or, you know, Tori. He's always a problem.
You know what's weird about that, though, is that beer does the same thing and you don't sweat.
You also don't bloat.
Well, I do.
When you work out, I mean. You don't bloat.
Oh, okay. I see.
So you sweat. So there's a trade-off. You got the blood.
I guess if you
sweat.
Drink enough beer, you sweat while you eat.
Yeah.
So that's bad.
That is a really attractive quality in a man.
So one thing I've always wondered...
For the record.
I've always wondered about P90X and the coaches. Because I got a coach, too, when I signed up.
You automatically get assigned.
She went right into my spam folder. I'm sorry. She just was contacting me all the time. But the question I always had is, are you encouraged to plug... the products and the shakes and then the upgrades to the, are they saying now how much of these folks, how many folks have you converted to this other program? Or?
Well, that is, kind of the idea is trying to get people to coach under you and to sell their products, of course. But I actually listened to a training just today and they said, we don't want you to talk about, we don't want you to even put Beachbody on your Facebook page. We don't want you, this is not a hardcore sell. This is, you know, be friendly, get people to buy in what you're talking about. They'll like your stuff and then slowly you'll see them ask you questions and you answer them and stuff like that. It's not meant to be a hardcore sell.
So you're more, you really are more just kind of like, hey, I've been through this and I'm here to help you.
Yes.
Okay.
Kind of as an advisor. I mean, this is all very new to me. I mean, I literally just signed up days ago and I actually have a quote unquote, real job, going to work every day.
She's got a little job.
Just that one thing that you do.
Just that one thing I do all day. just run that place, but whatever. So I, this is a very part-time thing for me.
Our podcast is our job.
Right. And I'll probably have as many followers as you do. So
I'd like to tell you that there's a big crossover in people that like to be on internet message boards and sports blogs and insane fitness, but I'm not so sure that there's a huge...
No, because people like Rochelle are way too motivated to listen to the crap that we...
Or be obsessed about.
Hey, I listen to this podcast every week. I want you to know.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I know that that's just a courtesy to Tori.
No, I care. I do.
And a proud Iowa alum and a big Hawkeye fan as well.
That's true.
So what did you think of the game last week?
You know, I got to be really honest. I didn't even watch the game last week.
Because you knew what was going to happen, didn't you?
Because I was afraid of what was going to happen. I got to be honest. I went to the game last year. We won by one single point. I know that they went to the Orange Bowl last year, and I really didn't think it was going to be pretty. Plus the heat, plus a new quarterback. I said, no, thank you. I'll just go to the grocery store and do some laundry. Yes, I chose buying groceries and laundry over the Hawkeyes.
You chose wisely.
That is sad.
You chose wisely.
Well, we're only a month and a half from basketball season, so things are...
Oh, okay.
Well, I think that's actually that's kind of a... an interesting segue and a little bit of a scary indicator of what is starting to happen in the fan base. Did you see that article about from Barda talking about the student section starting to get a little light?
No.
So that's the last couple of games have not been this game coming up and then the last game. And obviously we're not in the Big Ten, we're not in the conference schedule yet, but. But it is starting to show some weakness. I mean, students, hey, they'd rather stay in a bar or stay in a tailgate.
And try to hit that 0.341 BAC Vodka Sam, right?
The bar has been set now, hasn't it?
It was pretty impressive.
Iowa number one.
Did you see the mugshot?
Yes.
She looked really...
Which reminds me, Jim and I saw...
Her mother must be very proud of her.
Jim and I saw the return this week of the t-shirt that comes out when we go through these troubles that says, University of Iowa, a drinking school with a football problem. So, you know, when those t-shirts come out, you know, things are not going well with the pigskin.
But anyway, I mean, student section getting a little light. I don't know about you, but everywhere I look, somebody's trying to give away a pair of Hawkeye tickets. Have you noticed this? My neighborhood, the gas station is running a raffle for it. There was a giveaway on this website. There was a Facebook page, answer a survey, get some Hawkeye tickets. And I'm sorry, maybe I'm just too, keyed into it a little bit more than usual.
I mean, look at what happened with the basketball program. I mean, Carver was a friggin' morgue for a few years. You know, if you keep being bad... People are going to lose. In this day and age, when you have 100 HD television, what about the, why don't you tell our listeners about the little conversation you brought up as we were walking on a Kinnick last week?
Well, you're going to have to refresh my mind on that one. It's,
about the, you know, point of having season tickets at a certain point.
I'm not ready to have that conversation on this podcast yet.
Okay.
We've got to at least wait, I would say 5-6 games into the season before we're ready to bring that up. But but remind me to bring that up, because that is that was a very, I think, a moment where we kind of had, it was a gut check.
I
think what everyone is realizing, and I think even Barta brought this up, maybe not this most recent interview, is that there's just too many things competing for your entertainment dollar right now. To drop $1,000 or whatever it costs for season tickets, plus the donation, the required donation, plus the trips to and from Iowa City and the meals and the beer and all that stuff is not really optional. You don't.
The beer is not optional.
It is not this season, not last season.
Do you prepay for the beer? Is that something that happens?
I usually pay for it for a couple days afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and then you get a little punch card. But yeah, I mean, you add all that up and you say, and as you have pointed out, a basketball. Forget about, you know, the relative success of the program. It's a basketball game. You can come up, go to a game in an hour and a half, have dinner, and be out of there.
Yeah. It's not
it's not an all-day commitment like a football game is, where you leave at, what time are we leaving Saturday? Like 9, and we're going to be back, you know.
The only downside of basketball is, you know, you might be driving from the Quad Cities or Des Moines or somewhere at, you know, 10, or back from Iowa City at 10 o'clock at night in a snowstorm on a Wednesday night with work the next morning. Well, so each of them has their issues. Yeah. But yeah, I know. Yeah, that's definitely
So, you know, I think what we're seeing is that the fan base at Iowa is pretty hardcore, extremely loyal. Hayden Fry pointed out that, you know, even when, football team was very shaky at best back in the 70s, we were still had a pretty good turnout for the games. And I think what we're seeing is that those sellouts – they'll only put up with these shenanigans for about 2 years.
Right.
Before the fan base
starts to waver. Well, I think it bottomed out at around 50, 55,000, which is still better than Iowa State.
It's still better than most schools. It really is.
It really is.
But you know that you can't look at the number of seats sold, that if you're in Barta's office, you're looking at the number of seats that were empty. You have to. So,
of course. That makes sense.
So we sort of... You know, took a little sidebar from our expert, but
that's
we do very much appreciate you sitting in and
being
our
put her on the hook for
outside expert
prediction.
Oh, that's right, because we always ask the outside expert.
No.
So they're playing the Missouri State Bears. Are they Bears?
Which, they are Bears. Bears. They used to be
Truman State.
That's no, they used to be that school.
South
that everybody,
Missouri State.
South Northwest Missouri State. some direction Missouri State where people would go. When they wanted to be accountants, right?
Really? I didn't know that.
I thought it was accounting. That was
so we're playing an account,
like,
a bunch of accountants.
The fight and slide rules?
the fight and double rules?
Fighting abacuses?
And they're coached by Terry Allen, the former Northern UNI coach.
Now, how did he end up there?
Well, thank God they didn't hire him instead of Ferentz, because that would have been a disaster, but some people wanted him to.
I thought he was going to move to Iowa State.
Yeah, I don't know. What happened? But so, you know, once again, another story of somebody that would really love to just stick it to Iowa. But in this case, I, for one, don't think that they have the horsepower. But what do you think, Rochelle?
I would like to say the same. I think, you're looking at a Big Ten school. This is a, you know, clearly a smaller school, probably not the strongest football program, or not nearly as strong as Iowa is or should be.
Has the potential.
Has the potential to be. I might even watch the game.
What are you looking at for a score?
Well, okay, I'm just going to throw it out there. I'm going to go Iowa wins 56-3.
Woo!
Wow. I like that. That's an old-fashioned Hayden Fry butt-whooping right there.
You can tell who his coach when she was in college.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Iowa, because somebody
Well, you know,
Missouri.
They're Southeast Missouri State fellas. They're a strong team, and, you know, we're all beat up, and we don't know what we're going to do. We're
just going to scratch where it is.
Plus the no mercy to leave the starters in, you know, when you're
up,
let's say, 35-3, and you're still leaving your starters in. I think, you know... I mean, I'm calling for a victory. I'm not sure I'm that confident. I think they will score. I think it's probably more along the lines of 35-10.
You know, I probably, for sake of consistency, should give the same score that I gave to Tom Kakert and Hawkeye Report, because I apparently am enough of an expert now.
He's using air quotes over here.
That I get to actually be part of the esteemed council of prognosticators on Hawkeye Report, and I want to say that I think I said something along the lines of Iowa 42-13 or 17, something in that area. But I think that we're going to actually get to sit back and relax and enjoy a nice Saturday for once, and then we can start biting our fingernails again for the dreaded Iowa State game.
Yeah, well, and it's going to be even warmer, from what I understand.
Yeah, but it's an 11 a.m. kickoff.
So hopefully that'll help. And I think we've decided that if we're up more than three scores by the third quarter, we're going to find some air conditioning and some chicken wings.
And bring your punch card for your beer.
Right. Well, beer punch card.
Beer punch card.
All right, well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Coach Rochelle.
You're welcome.
I promise that if somehow you get assigned to me, I won't move you to my spam folder.
Oh, thank you.
Because I actually listen to your advice.
But, what for whatever that's worth.
If I ever actually finish a P90X program, I start a lot of them. I just never actually see them through.
Well, if you come over at 4:30 in the morning, you can do it with me.
Yeah, 4:30 in the morning,
you probably just went to bed.
I'm probably editing this stupid podcast. As fans, we have the luxury of looking beyond the next opponent to Iowa State and then the season as a whole. So, what do you think? What did you see on Saturday that maybe changed your mind about the season coming up?
You know, not much. You know, I thought this was going to be a tough game. I predicted an Iowa loss. I'll say this. I wrote in my column this week, if we can flip the script from last year and lose a close game to Northern Illinois, which we won a close game last year, but win a close game against Iowa State, which we lost a close game last year, I will call that progress and success. And it will make me feel better just personally, because I sure as hell don't want to be staring a three-game losing streak to Iowa State in the face. Does it suck to lose to a MAC school? Yeah. Does it suck to lose to a MAC school that played in a BCS bowl and has a pretty damn good quarterback?
Well,
not as bad.
This is, if you got to lose to a MAC school, this is probably the one you want to lose to, right?
Yeah. But you got to follow it up now and go in and beat Iowa State. And what I like about how this is setting up this year is that this is the year, usually it's kind of Iowa that's expected to be the team to beat. And yes, I know Iowa lost to UNI or whatever, but, you know, they're going to be sitting there riding the two-game winning streak, thinking their program's a little better. Iowa's down, kick them while they're down. This is the year we get to Iowa State, Iowa State.
You think that they didn't... they're not going to bounce back necessarily from their win?
I have no doubt that they'll play against us like USC. That's what they do.
Yeah.
But I think that this, I guess I've said this a few times before, but I feel like this season, Iowa is the team with the bigger chip on its shoulder, with more to prove. Yeah. And, you know, I think that they have the talent certainly to beat Iowa State. There's no reason. I don't think Iowa State's any better than Northern Illinois, and Iowa could have, should have, would have beat Northern Illinois if they got a few breaks. I mean, for frickin' sake, I mean, at about some point, Iowa's going to get some breaks, right?
Well, I don't know. You make your own breaks, and I think if you feel like you're not regressing to the mean as far as luck, then you have to look at skill and competence.
Yeah, although I did really think it was interesting that Ferentz in his press conference said something that I was thinking too, is that they need to relearn how to win. They have to learn how to win and finish.
Yeah.
You know, and that's something that's been sorely lacking.
Yeah.
And
so beyond Iowa State, then we have Western Michigan. I think another MAC school.
One that I believe we're 1-2 against.
I think you may be right. Although, wasn't that Eastern Michigan was the last?
I can't keep track of the directional schools.
There's so many Michigans.
I know.
So, and then, you know, then you're staring the conference in the face.
Yeah.
And what did you see out of week one that makes you, did anybody shock you positive or negative on the conference?
Purdue's awfulness shocked me.
Yes.
Illinois struggling as much as they did with Southern Illinois shocked me.
What about Nebraska and Wyoming?
No, you know, Nebraska we know doesn't have crap for defense right now.
Well, so, Pelini made a big deal. He gave away black shirts.
Yeah, he does that.
And he beat Wyoming by 3 points.
I don't think the Big Ten's that good. Like I said last week, I think Michigan and Ohio State have sort of set themselves apart from everybody else, which stinks.
Yeah.
Wisconsin looked really good, but they were playing a terrible team, so yeah. Who really knows?
Northwestern beat Cal pretty
well. Yeah, but that Cal is with a true freshman quarterback, and I, you know.
Was that on the road, or were they in Edison?
It was on the road in Cal, so we know how that West Coast
you know,
goes.
Hey, Ferentz has a difficulty going out to the Pacific time zone.
No, Northwestern is good. I think from what I watched, I saw three teams that are worse than Iowa, and that's Purdue, Minnesota, and Illinois. And then there's quite a few teams that are better, Northwestern, Michigan, Ohio State, Wisconsin. And I think Iowa fits somewhere in that mission in the middle with Michigan State, Nebraska.
Indiana.
Indiana looked pretty darn good against not a real strong competition.
Yeah. Penn State. Did Penn State?
I didn't see them, so I don't know. But, you know, I never know with them.
Yeah, well, it's a tough call. I feel like after this after this week, I feel like, look, it's hard to say this. It certainly would not be something I would have predicted, I would say, when we were walking out of Kinnick on Saturday. But I feel better. I feel like the offense is improved over last year. I feel like the defense has gone from a disaster to just kind of below average. This is after the first, you know, first week. And I think our problem has shifted from the defensive line to the secondary, which I think is a better problem. If you've got a unit,
especially when you have Phil Parker on your coaching staff, the guy knows how to coach secondaries.
Well, and if you're going to have a problem, make the offense, you know, throw with their timing and with their routes and all that stuff. Make it beat you in the passing game, not the running. If they can run all over you,
you're done.
Especially in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
I think that so the offense has improved. The defense, the problem is probably a push, but the problem has moved. And I think that, you know, special teams and coaching, still a question mark.
Well, and I'll tell you, that's the thing that really concerns me is that, you know, the talent looks a little better. The hunger is there. Now, it's early in the season, so of course you're going to be hungry. You're not beaten down or anything yet. You know, I thought that the team played with a lot of passion and aggressiveness on Saturday. But, man, the situational play calling and the untimely errors.
Yeah.
You know, that looked, that's the Groundhog Day part.
Yeah.
That's the Groundhog Day.
That false start on third and one.
Missing a, you know, letting them convert a fake punt. Did I not tell you when we were standing there, watch the fake?
Yeah.
And then it happened.
Everybody in the stands saw it. And half the players on the scenes.
And according to Ferentz, the team was in punt safe and was prepared for it. And they just, so you can't stop a punter from executing a run play?
Yeah.
Really?
What about the third and one? Do you buy into this theory that the PA announcer screwed up that third and one, and that's why we had the false start?
I suppose that could be it, but I mean, that's still just, you know what? That if you're so confident with it, but why? Here's the thing. If you have confidence in your offensive line, why do you need to use the little hurry-up gimmick? Line up. Beat the bastard in front of you and get the yard.
Yeah.
That's Iowa football.
It wasn't even a yard. That's
Iowa football.
Exactly.
You don't need to, like, trick them. Just go up there and smack them in the freaking face. Come on, man.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, I think I'm hoping for another week this week where, you know, one of those rare occasions, it's been rare in the last couple of seasons, where we can actually sit back and enjoy a comfortable lead early. And then, you know, maybe even leave the stadium if it gets too hot and enjoy some beer and some snacks while we watch it from a nice air-conditioned bar.
But does it really mean anything?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, to this team, it goes back to what you were saying about learning to win and learning what it feels like and learning what it takes to win. And if our P90X coach were still sitting here, I think, you know, I think she would probably tell you that just getting into that mental discipline is half the battle. So,
good point.
All right. Well, with that, we'll say, you know, it's been another great episode. Look forward to next week. And on Iowa.
Go Hawks.